Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and I am here with Dr. Vanderpool. And today's kind of fun because, Dr. V, you are in Israel right now. So we have quite a bit of time in between us. My day is just starting, and yours is getting close to ending. But we have some just really exciting updates and news about all of the things that the Lord is doing in Israel. And we wanted to just go into a little bit more detail. So, Dr. V, thank you for joining us. Thank you for making this work.
It's great to be here, and I bring you greetings from the Live Beyond base in Jerusalem.
Yay. Okay. So, quick overview. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in Israel, what the day-to-day kind of looks like. Just kind of fill us in a little bit.
Well, Jerusalem is an exciting city. Anybody who's ever been there understands that. One of the challenges in this region, especially in the West Bank, is that there's a very great need for taking care of disabled children. And so that's the reason that we came over here. We really felt the Lord leading us to come to Israel to open a new base of operations and to work with the disabled children in the West Bank. So that's the task that we have at hand, and that's what we're working on.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously in Haiti, we've been there since 2010, and a lot of our programs are now, have been founded for quite a bit. So how does it feel to now have to be kind of going back and starting over somewhere new? What are some of the challenges that you've been facing from that?
You know, it's really exciting. I love starting new things. And so it's really exciting for me for a number of reasons. One is that the base in Haiti is operationally sustainable, that there are no Americans working at the Live Beyond base. It's all led by Haitians. And that is just a tremendous accomplishment that the Lord has allowed us to have. And we're so excited about that. The Haitians themselves are so excited because they realize that this is a win for them, that they don't need Americans, don't need outsiders coming and helping them, that they can help themselves and help the ones that are most vulnerable in their communities. And so we've basically given them the infrastructure, the skill sets, and the opportunity to serve their own people, and they're doing a great job. So we're very excited about that. Here in Israel, things are a lot different than they are in Haiti. Of course, Israel is a very top-notch country. We're not dealing with a lot of the things that we dealt with in Haiti, like no electricity, no running water, no sewage control, things like that. These things are taken care of even in the West Bank. In the West Bank, we have water twice a week, 2 days a week on, so we store water in between those times. And electricity is on probably 80 to 90% of the time, so it's much better than it is in Haiti. Sewage control is a little iffy some days, but two out of three is not bad. So we're very excited to be working here. We're not having to build the infrastructure in the West Bank that we did in Haiti. In Haiti, there just weren't any buildings suitable to have a school or a hospital like the one we wanted. And so we had to build everything. In the West Bank, however, the buildings are in good shape. There are many buildings for rent. And so we actually are leasing a building just outside of Ramallah. And we've remodeled that building. And we're very excited buying furniture, hiring individuals, very excited about opening up a new Johnny's Kids Jerusalem program here in Israel.
That's wonderful. So, we obviously have quite a handful of programs already in Haiti. So, my question for you is, how did you choose which one of those programs to start first in Israel?
That's a great question. And we have a set way that we do this. We basically will go into a country and assess their needs. We do that through a number of different means. We meet with the government officials. We ask them what they perceive the needs to be in their communities. We meet with local officials, local leaders in the communities, And then we also spend quite a bit of time talking with the families who will be the constituents of this program. And so back in 2018, we spent a month here and we were assessing the needs in the West Bank. And so meeting with the government officials, they immediately chose the disability program. So a program that specifically takes care of children's disabilities. And it was very interesting. They have a tremendous problem with that over here and very little infrastructure to take care of it. So this was a need of theirs that intersected one of our skill sets. And so we chose to pursue this. The local leaders also verified that this was a great need. And then in meeting with the families of the disabled children, we found out just how great a need it is, that the disabled children are typically not allowed to attend school. And so they persist in a very uneducated state, even if they are able to be educated. So that was the first idea that we had, that we needed to provide some kind of educational background for these children with the idea that they would then become mainstreamed in school. The idea that we could normalize their relationship with the community. Because in this particular community, the disabled are considered to be a shame to the family, so a dishonorable type of situation. Whereas in Haiti, they're more of a curse, they're perceived as a curse. We found that we were able to overcome that idea in Haiti that the disabled were cursed through modeling behavior that Jesus would have, just being kind and loving, taking care of the disabled. That really prompted other people in the community to start doing that themselves. And it's one of the reasons that Johnny's Kids in Haiti has been such a successful program. So we intend to do the same thing here. We intend to normalize the idea of the disabled child as much as possible so that they can become really independent, participating citizens in society. To do that, they need education, but they also need therapy. And so we have included in this program physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. So these three aspects of therapy will help them become really participating, contributing members of the society here in the West Bank. And people will be proud of the fact that they're there with them, and they can then really have a life that is fulfilled, maximally. So I think this is going to be a very good program. Our goals, I think, will be able to meet with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as of right now, how many participants do you have in the program?
Well, we have started with about 40 families that we've been providing food for and providing therapy in their homes. We're going to start with a smaller cohort in the center. So, in the school, we really want to start with just 8 or 10 children so that we can get the workflow down and then expand that over the ensuing months. So, we intend to choose 8 to 10 children from both mental and physical disability groups to participate in the center. One of the things I'm really excited about is a mom's program that we're intending to start. We noticed when we were visiting with the mothers of these disabled children that the mothers were just incredibly overworked and that they really felt hopeless. They really didn't have much help at home. They had a disabled child, perhaps a child they couldn't leave at home alone. They had to take the child with them. Going to market, going to the places that they want to go during the day to work and things like that was really impossible for these ladies. And so The Live Beyond School will serve as a sort of a Mother's Day out program. There'll be a program that the moms can drop the kids off, and they can be assured that their children are well loved and taken care of and fed. We also want these ladies, though, to come and spend time at the center. One of the things that we noticed is that each family really felt like they were the only ones with a disabled child. And that's typical of the way the enemy works. The enemy tends to isolate us and make us feel like we're the only one going through whatever challenge we have. So getting these ladies together, letting them sit and talk around a cup of coffee, and really get to know each other, I think will strengthen the bonds that they have with each other, but it'll also strengthen their families because they will realize that there are other families going through the same thing. So we're very excited about this. I feel like this is going to be a great evangelistic outreach to the community as well as to the families of the disabled children. It will be so shown that we love their children, that we care for their children. And that's quite a statement to make to people who don't feel loved and don't feel included in society.
That's so good. I know that y'all have been working towards this goal for a long time, and getting to kind of see it come to fruition now is so exciting because it's been a almost 2 year, 3 year process now of, getting the ball rolling and getting everything you need. And it can take a long time, but wow, like what incredible fruit can come from it.
I think so too. And it's really worth laying down these initial 3, 4 years of work to make it successful. And getting community buy-in is extremely important. That is one thing that we have. The people in our community are very excited about having this center. There's going to be a lot of things that will benefit the community besides just taking care of the disabled. So we're very excited about it. I think it's going to be a fantastic program.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, so since you've been there and you've been doing these assessments and you've been talking to the government officials, were there any other programs that have kind of been, you've been wanting to start building out now that the Johnny's Kids one is underway that you really feel like will impact the community?
I really do. There's a great need for a maternity program or a mother's program. I think that's going to be something that we'll look at in the next few years. The outlook for maternal challenges during their pregnancies is very dim here in the West Bank. A lot of women really struggle with their pregnancies here. And they don't have a lot of backup. There's not a lot of support, community support for them. So I think that we could also start a maternal health program that would benefit the lives of the pregnant ladies in this area.
That would be wonderful. Now that y'all are in Israel, what is that schedule going to look like for you of spending time over there? And, if you do go back to Haiti, what does your everyday kind of look like?
Well, we'll probably spend about 5 months of the year here in Israel. We're working on a longer-term visa. If that comes through, we will spend longer. But about 5 months a year would be good. We'll be going back to Haiti periodically. The violence in Haiti has gotten so bad, and our programs are sustainable. So there's no real reason that we need to be there. But we'll be going back periodically. So we'll be spending a good amount of time in the Middle East and then also looking for our next spot. So no telling where that'll be.
That's kind of exciting. Well, that is
Absolutely.
so good. I know it's just so exciting to get to see the Lord continuing to work in Haiti and the amazing things that he's doing there, but also getting to be really excited that it's spreading to somewhere else. And I know Israel has been a country that has been on your heart for a very, very long time. So just what a sweet blessing it is that y'all are there now. It's just so exciting.
It really is. We're very excited about it.
Well, that is it for this episode and update. We hope you enjoyed it. We just ask that you continue to keep Live Beyond and Dr. and Mrs. Vanderpool in your prayers while they are in Israel, and also just keep Haiti in your prayers as well. We are so excited for the things that the Lord has to come, and we are just so grateful for your support, for your encouragement, and for your prayers. If you want to learn more about Live Beyond, you can go online to livebeyond.org. You can check out all of the different programs that we have there, as well as all the things that we've been doing since really we started Live Beyond. And you can also, if you feel like it's been placed on your heart, you can donate. You can donate to a specific program or just in general. And we would be so incredibly grateful. But we hope you have a fantastic day. And don't forget to go out and live beyond.